Charlotte Street by Danny Wallace, read by Mackenzie Crook and Wendy Wason. There's nothing like the humdrum of life and love in London, chasing girls out of the sticks, changing worlds with 12 quick clicks. Girl in a photo, the Kicks. As good things go, she went. Hovis Presley. Before. It happened on a Tuesday. I suppose the noise it would make in a film would be boom, but there was no boom with this. No boom, no bang, no tap, crack, or snap. Just a flash of glass. A moment in flight, a flicker of shooting star through a history lesson, and all the colder for it. Things like this aren't supposed to happen on Tuesdays. It's history, then art. It's not this. I shivered the second I saw him. But the strange thing is that I also noticed the weather, this weak grey veil of rain beyond the chipped old railings, beyond the thin scarred trees. It was like the moment in a dream where you see something happening, something bad, something that should never be, and your bones become heavy and your feet hard to raise, as whatever warning you try and call out through the fog of it all becomes too slurred and too blurred to be useful. It would have been better had it been a dream. What would you call him? A gunman? Seems dramatic, especially this early on in the story, but a gunman he was. There, on the other side of the street, maybe 9 stories up, pleased with his first shot, now cocking the rifle and snapping it back, reloading, finding his aim. Gunman will do. Right, up, let's go. Calm, short words, quickly. Now, please. I'm suddenly in the middle of the room. It feels like I can do most good here, but really, what can I do? I turn and scan the flats again, find him. He's laughing. His mate is, too. What? Where to? Said someone. Maybe J. Deep, or maybe the one with the hair whose name I could never remember. You know the one. The one the teachers call Superfly. Instinctively, I stood in front of him, his paid protector, like he'd made himself a target just by asking Sir a question. Hall was the best I could manage. The back of my neck expecting attack. My faked calm fighting my fight or flight. Up. Hey, said someone else. Hey. And I looked at them. And right across their face was the terror I felt as they struggled to understand what they were seeing, what it meant. Okay, now, please, Anna, please. Sir. The waver in the voice, the fear, it would spread, and fast. Out the door. They moved, shocked, and quickly now, as quick as the news spread through the school. As quick as the police arrived with their own guns, their cars and their dogs, their helmets and shields. The kids found their confidence again, pressed up against windows, peeping through buckled Venetians, as 8 or 10 armed coppers made a heavy path up the stairwell of Alma Rose House, while the others, tense and furrow-browed, stared the place out, willing our shooter to try something. The kids applauded as they dragged him out. Applause was the first sign it was over. They applauded the vans, shouted jokes at the coppers, and cooed at the chopper. But the kids hadn't seen what I'd seen. I was last out of 3GC, I'd tell Sarah later. She'd stopped at the office for an 8-pack of Stella and a bottle of Rioja, the only medicine she had a license to give, but she'd rushed home to be with me, her arm on mine, her head against my shoulder. The kids had been safe, I told her, and I'd stayed with them while Anna Lincoln and Ben Powell ran to Mrs. Abercrombie's office to get help, though Ranjit had already dialed 999 by then and probably posted on Twitter too. But I'd stayed in that room just a second or two longer, just to work out whether this could be real, whether he could actually be doing what he was doing, whether I was making a mistake raising this alarm. And that's when he'd laughed again and taken aim again. I'd never felt more alone, more aware of myself, what I was, what I wasn't, what I wanted. And another glimpse of shooting star flit its path inches from my face to bounce against a wall behind and scutter and scuttle and skip on the floor. And that, Doctor, is when the damage was done. 1. Or, she got me bad. I wonder if we should start with the introductions. I know who you are. You're the person listening to this. For whatever reason and in whatever place, that's you. And soon we'll be friends, and you'll never convince me otherwise. But me, I'm Jason Priestley. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, goodness. Are you the same Jason Priestley, born in Canada in 1969, famous for his portrayal of Brandon Walsh, the moral center?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?